I want to continue this weekend with our series on the Mass. We began that series last weekend talking about the first Mass, that proto-Mass, the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday, which is the archetype for every Mass to come. Setting up a little bit of historical context and theological context, I want to start this weekend with diving into the rite itself, how we celebrate Mass today. And it will take us a few weeks to get through it, so we're just going to kind of do it in order, chunk by chunk. And I want to begin with how we enter into the celebration of these sacred mysteries before they even begin. That is, our preparation for Mass. This is a really important component of our celebration and really can't be overlooked. How do we prepare ourselves to enter in to Mass, to celebrate Mass together? A preparation is important. There's a lot of ways in which we can prepare ourselves, one of which is attempting to arrive to Mass early and have time to pray before Mass starts, to have time to prepare ourselves spiritually. If you don't have a missal, I highly recommend getting a missal. Missals are great aids and tools to not only prepare ourselves for Mass, but to celebrate Mass as Mass goes on. To have silence in one's life, silence in the church before Mass. And this is something I'll be working with the liturgy committee on. Probably won't get to this one until after construction because everything's a little odd with half of our church closed off. But to have silence integrated before Mass so that we can spiritually prepare ourselves for it. To have time to pray and recollect ourselves. To avoid the hubbub that we might usually get snared in before Mass. Chit-chat and kind of idle talk, or food or drink or bubblegum that should be outside. This is a sacred space, and we talked a little bit about that last week. The space, the house of God, in which Mass is celebrated, is unique and unlike any others. This is a holy place, a sacred space. When we enter into it, we enter into the very court of God himself, where the angels and the saints are present with us in this celebration. And if we have that mentality of when we walk into the church, we are entering the very courtyard of God, this space becomes a holy place. And so to reverence and honor that space before Mass starts, during Mass, really any time, the church never ceases to be the church. This is always a sacred and holy space. I've mentioned this saying before, and it's rather apropos as we prepare and celebrate Mass and talk about Mass. Familiarity breeds contempt. The things we become most familiar with, we become apathetic towards. And even if long enough untreated, we show contempt towards. It's just part of human nature. St. Thomas Aquinas, whose feast we celebrated yesterday, widely recognized this. This comes to everything from our work, our relationships, and yes, even how we enter into and celebrate Mass. It becomes so familiar, we can just take it for granted. But there's another old saying that I hope we reflect on this weekend that jolts us out of that. And it's an old saying that was in a lot of European sacristies for the priest to read before he would go and celebrate Mass in. And I think it's actually very appropriate for all of us to think on. Celebrate Mass as though this were your first Mass, your only Mass, and your last Mass. Your first, your only, and your last Mass. If we put that on our minds and in our hearts as we enter into and prepare to celebrate these sacred mysteries, this could be my last Mass. Celebrate this as though this was the first time I was going to Mass. And celebrate it as if it were my only Mass. I think our attitude towards how we celebrate together would shift dramatically. The sacredness of this time and space would become very apparent for us. That what we do here is not just offering thanksgiving to God and offering the bread and wine to become Jesus himself, but we are entering into a time that is unique. At the entrance of the church doors are the baptismal fonts, and it's an encourageable practice to dip one's finger or hand into the baptismal font and to make the sign of the cross to remind ourselves of our own baptism, that we enter into the sacraments through baptism, which is the gateway sacrament for all others, that sharing in the suffering and death and rising of Jesus to celebrate new life. And that's why we have holy water fonts at the entrances of churches. And then we get to the Mass itself. When does Mass actually begin? Middle schoolers and high schoolers in our youth group aren't allowed to answer because they know the answer. Mass starts when the bell rings. Why? Because the bell acts, as the Latin calls it, the vox dei, the voice of God. Mass in every sacrament begins with God's initiative towards us, and we respond. And the bell acts as that voice of God, calling us to form a body, form the body of Christ, to offer these sacred mysteries. Practically speaking, before the days of iPhones and wristwatches and so forth, how did the local people in a parish community know when Mass started? If they said Mass was going to be at 8 o'clock, how'd they know when 8 o'clock was? The bell rang. The bell rang in the local town or village or area, and that called the people together for prayer and for Mass. So Mass actually starts when the bell rings, and it's one reason why I want to, through all the Masses, kind of reinitiate that custom of having the bell rung 5 minutes before Mass starts. Because that is God's initiative to us. It's a very important sign, something to not be overlooked. And then we begin with the entrance antiphon, or the entrance chant. And this too is important. The entrance antiphon, which is proper to every Sunday, or to every solemnity, or to every feast, or to every memorial, highlights why we gather. All right, we've gathered, we're all in the church, God has called us. What has he called us for? And the entrance antiphon announces it. This is most especially true of solemnities or particular feast days. If we think of, for instance, Christmas, the entrance antiphon for Christmas: for unto us a child is born, a son is given us, upon his shoulder dominion rests. This is the entrance antiphon. It explains why we've gathered. And listen to the ones as we enter into the season of Lent and Easter. They announce the celebration. So the entrance antiphon and the entrance chant is very important. And then we have the procession with the servers and the priest. This too is equally important. As I mentioned last week, there was that gathering, how churches were structured. There's an outer courtyard, an inner courtyard, and then the inside of the house. And this is the movement from the outer courtyard to the inner courtyard. From the vestibule or the narthex, if we had one, to inside, to the inner courtyard of God. And so it's not just the priest has to get from there to here. It's a movement from the secular to the sacred. That's the movement. And that's why we have a procession. And then the priest, when he comes up to the altar, kisses the altar. Why? Because of what's underneath the altar. And I'd be happy to show anybody after Mass if they're curious. But underneath the altar, in marble, is the altar stone. And this stone is located in almost all altars across the world. And in the stone is a relic of one of the saints. I think we have St. Paul here, but people who are in the know, who I've asked, say they're not sure. It's one of the saints, but we don't have documentation. So let's assume it's St. Paul. To kiss and reverence the relic of the saint, St. Paul. That's common for the relic to be the patron of whatever church it's located in, although not always. This is an old custom and practice that dates back to the earliest times of the church when Mass was celebrated in the catacombs underneath the city of Rome, where quite literally they would have Mass surrounded by the bones or bodies of the saints or the martyrs. And so it was a custom that was kept after that to always have either the full body or a small piece of the body of one of the saints or martyrs. In fact, if you go to some of the oldest churches in Rome, they actually have the whole body of a saint under an altar. If you go through St. Peter's Basilica, St. John the 23rd, his whole body is under the altar. St. John Paul II, his whole body is underneath the altar. And so this is an ancient practice and custom that continues today. But that's why the priest kisses the altar, because of what's underneath the altar stone. Then we have the sign of the cross. And the sign of the cross marks us and reminds us of how we start the celebration. Through the mystery and the lens of the cross. And we'll talk about this in weeks to come. But we also end Mass through that same sign and mystery, the cross. It acts as the bookends, if you will, for the whole liturgy. It reminds us who we are, both when we begin and when we end. And then we have the greeting. The most common one that I think we're all familiar with is, "The Lord be with you." But there are two others that we will begin to use over time, and it will be a little bit of a learning period, and I'm going to randomize them so that we get used to them. But there are two others that we don't often use, and so this is one of the things that I want to accustomize us to, is grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a commonly used greeting, because I know when I go to churches and I use that one, people stare at me blankly and they don't say anything. But it is one of the greetings. And the other is, "May the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always." Those two come right out of the letters of St. Paul. And you will hear this time and again as we go through Mass. Mass is peppered with Scripture. It's everywhere. And these two greetings are no exception. They come right out of the greeting that Paul gives to the communities he writes to. And so there's Scripture on our lips all the time. These are the greetings that I want to rotate through, these three greetings, so that we can hear them and appreciate the richness of the Mass and the different options that are open to us. We'll begin next week and we'll pick up with the penitential rite. How we prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries. By first calling to mind our sins. But for now, I just want to re-emphasize this Mass. And hopefully, Masses to come. Celebrate and enter into this Mass as if it were your first Mass. and your only Mass and your last Mass, to offer a fitting sacrifice of praise to God, as if it were our first, our only, and our last time. Thank you.